Welcome to Loveline. Loveline is meant for an adult audience. Loveline may contain sexually oriented content. Listener discretion is advised.
Are you ready? Then brace yourself.
This is Loveline with Kevin Kenny and Dr. Tara.
Call or text 833-LOVE-191.
Loveline is on now.
Hello! Did you miss us? Did you notice we were gone? It's all the same if you're listening right now. It is Kevin Kenny. Dr. Tara is in the house. Producer Muggs is here. And we're going to be joined, actually, in less than 30 minutes' time with a guest. We got our first guest. Muggs booked our first guest.
Woo!
No, Dr. Tara booked our first guest. We're very excited to speak to this individual. Dr. Joshua Gonzalez is going to join us. Now, do you want to bring people up to speed, Dr. Tara? He was a guest on your podcast.
Yes, he's the Hollywood penis doctor.
The Hollywood penis doctor.
Yes, right.
What could that mean?
You have a small penis.
Oh, that's perfect.
The Hollywood penis doctor. Muggs, what do you think it means, the Hollywood penis doctor? We're going to be joined by Dr. Joshua Gonzalez here in less than 30 minutes on Loveline. What do you think that entails?
I think he's the doctor to all the star penises out there.
What would lead you to believe that, Muggs? Could it be what we just said?
Exactly.
Okay. He's just putting two and two together, getting five over there. And we're going to also answer your social media questions. That's a new addition to the show a little later on. We were kind of relegated to the phone lines, and you can call us up. Muggs, give out that phone number if you don't mind.
1-833-LOVE-191.
Now, of course, you can do that the old-fashioned way, but we thought, you know, there's this thing that came out like 25 years ago, maybe 30 at this point, called the internet. We should utilize that. And Dr. Tara gave out a prompt this week. So if you are listening to us live on K-Rock, or maybe you're listening on the podcast and you submitted a question to Dr. Tara on her social media at lovebite.com. LUVbites.co. We will get to that, it sounds like, by the end of the show. I want to start, though, with I saw this happen. I believe it was on Monday. I was watching the inauguration. Was that this past Monday?
It's just Monday.
That's a Muggs. That feels like a decade ago.
So long.
That was just 6 days ago.
January has been feeling like it's been 6 months.
Don't even get me started. Boy, do I know. And I'm watching the inauguration, and I wasn't expecting to watch this and have anything to talk about from it on Loveline. And then lo and behold, right there on our television screens for everybody to see, Mark Zuckerberg gave me something to talk about. And I just want to say, not getting political, but Mark Zuckerberg belongs in prison. Mark Zuckerberg needs to go to horny prison. Yes.
Horny
jail. Do we have a gavel sound effect? I'd like a gavel. That guy deserves. What is this like? Is this like Ric Flair's theme song?
It's Dragnet, dude.
I don't know. It feels like I'm on a ride at like Universal Studios.
Yeah, right? Now, this guy needs to go directly to horny prison. Did you see what this guy was doing at the inauguration? This was unbelievable what Mark Zuckerberg was doing.
You mean just being a man?
I guess you could look at it that way, but this was a very, very horny man. Now, I am a very, very horny man, but I do think I can control that in situations like in a church.
At an inauguration?
Yeah, at a funeral. I'm not really going to get horny at a funeral, and I'm probably not going to get horny at an inauguration. And lo and behold, here was the founder of the Facebook, and now like sort of the Meta overlord, and he was getting pretty horny on national TV. And if you didn't see this, he was seated next to Jeff Bezos of Amazon fame, and then Jeff Bezos is it Jeff Bezos' fiance?
Yeah.
And what is her name, Muggs?
Lauren Sanchez.
Okay, and then it's so awful, you don't know when you see things online. Was she formerly married to the football player Tony Gonzalez?
Yeah, very famous tight end, Tony
Gonzalez.
That's
true?
Yeah.
Because I saw a picture, and I go, she don't look the same. That doesn't really look like her, but that's...
She's had a lot of work.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I mean, let's be kind here.
But she looks great.
She does look. She looks amazing.
Yeah.
I mean, Mark Zuckerberg definitely thought so. So anyways, Mark Zuckerberg like says hello to her and just immediately gets like, I don't even know if he had said hi yet. He gets caught in 4K.
Right.
Looking at her breastises.
Right.
And while I am sort of suggesting he does spend some time behind horny bars. I have done this a zillion times, and I think most men do, and I've gotten into fights. I have three dogs. I'll walk them with my girlfriend. Mm-hmm. My girlfriend is she's very territorial, right? She's also sitting outside right now. I love you, Britt, but you're a little territorial.
You're territorial, Britt.
And so, yeah, I mean, if you thought, and you'd think the dogs, if you're walking dogs, that that would be the most territorial element of a dog walk with how they mark their territory. Britt is more territorial than the dogs. And so sometimes we'll cross a woman and we'll do it in the morning and women are jogging or women are just walking. And if they're well endowed up top, my eyes will just, I mean, for a nanosecond, just glance, just glance to...
Oh, there you go. There you go. Guilty.
Yeah, 3 minutes
Guilty.
Later. Now Muggs has the gavel. That's never good. So for just a millisecond, a nanosecond even, it'll just glance. Like if a car drove by, I'd go, what's that, right? Mm-hmm. And if a large object passes your eyesight, I think as a human, you will look, right? Mm-hmm. And maybe as a guy, you'll look at breasts just inherently. But then they'll dart back. But funny enough, she'll notice immediately. And so obviously that pales in comparison to an entire nation. And thus when it got posted online, an entire world looking at Mark Zuckerberg doing what everybody does. Mm-hmm. But I argue with my girlfriend that it's not, I can't even control it. I'm not making this decision. That's just where my eyes go for, a nanosecond. And she still doesn't like that. She thinks it's like me deciding to do that. Is that rude?
That's a good question.
Yes.
I think rudeness is socially constructed. Like, what if we live in an alternate universe where how we say hi to each other is doing motorboats?
Imagine a world.
Yeah. Where, like, you have to put your face in breasts and to say hello, you
there
know?
There is a fifth dimension.
Yeah.
I think that was a Quantum Leap episode.
Everything is socially constructed. Like, how we feel about relationships or how we feel about attraction or how we feel about, like, looking at other people and if it's, like, appropriate or not is all socially constructed within our culture.
It is. But don't you think it is overwhelmingly... established, it's rude to stare at a woman's breasts in American Western culture.
Staring, yeah, it is.
But
rude.
Even looking, is
like
it rude?
How fast?
I don't know. I mean, Zuckerberg,
less
I guess,
than
wasn't
one second.
Fast enough. But I'll do it for like again. Like I swear, I'm so good now, especially when I'm around her. When I'm not around her, I linger a little bit more. But no, it'll be for a nanosecond. And I'm not trying to be rude, so I wanted to ask you, the doctor, is this pervy behavior, or is this like men do this?
Men do this.
Like we can't even control it. We're sort of like our brains from an evolutionary standpoint. They do this.
Well, if you try really hard, you can control it because you can control anything. Have you seen monks, like Buddhist monks?
You don't think they stare?
I don't.
What if women be monks?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Do they have to be bald like those other monks?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, they shave their head. Yeah.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I guess they all do shave their head.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't Andy Kaufman become a monk? You ever know that, Muggs?
I think he studied, so like...
You've seen the movie, though, with Jim Carrey. I think he's like a monk at one point in that movie,
I don't know if he's a monk. I think he like goes to visit a monk.
I'm pretty sure he's a monk at some point in the movie, but who knows?
But a lot of it is human nature because, you know, men are significantly more than women to be stimulated by visual sexual stimuli.
But why do we look? Are we like, our brains going, okay, like we have to sort of measure every potential mate?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
That's true?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And because, you know... Because men are more likely to be stimulated by visual sexual stimuli, they're going to be looking and they're going to get more horny than women. Like women watching porn versus men watching porn, like men get more stimulated than women. I think that's why a lot of my women friends like to listen to porn rather than watch.
They'll listen to porn. They'll go on like Pornhub and they'll listen.
No. There are apps that do like audio porn. They like listening to porn and they like plots. Like they like stories and they like men that care.
Well, that's why they all get manipulated by bad guys, I think. No, I'm being serious.
Well, that
I think they're just like a sucker for a story.
Could be one of the reasons.
But why? Where does that trace back to? Like why are men... visually stimulated?
Well, in this study, it shows that when men are viewing porn, their amygdala is so much more active than women.
What is amygdala?
So it's a part of the brain.
Okay.
So I think it's just like built in.
But is it then what is amygdala's like overall relationship?
Being receptive towards something.
But what is it? What is amygdala's amygdala's relationship to sexuality in general? Just so I understand, or do we know?
No.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, no, I'm just saying this gets overstimulated.
Yeah.
So that's interesting to me that this is a driver of like what sexual desire to some extent.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mugs the typing.
we can hear you.
FYI. Yeah, I know. And what is he looking up right now? I can't even imagine.
Amygdala.
But before porn, okay, like men were still probably visual.
Well, of course.
So what do you think it is?
You can be cavemen and looking at cave women.
But what do you think that is about men? I'm just curious. Like, what do you think it is that men...
I think it's human nature.
But what does that date back to? Do you ever wonder? I wonder about that, where you go, like, why is it because of, like, combat? Or is it because of, like,
combat.
Well, I'm thinking about, like, just, like, early things that would differentiate the lived experience of a male versus a female.
Okay.
And how that would translate to their sexual interests. And it's like, it feels like just from the dawn of time, men were more visual and women were more, I guess, attracted
emotional.
To...
Emotional.
Emotional. But I guess that's, you can divvy it up that way. I don't know. I think it's interesting.
Yeah. Well, I do think that, you know, there are women that also lean towards being more visual. Like me, for instance, like I love getting a...
You like porn.
A beautiful penis picture for my husband.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
And some women, they think that's icky.
No, right.
Yeah, they don't like that. Mm-hmm. Now, but you said that you took some test and that you are more masculine than feminine.
Well, you can be high in both. It's not like either or. So, like, you can have... It's two different tests.
Okay, so explain the test really quick.
Well, it's masculinity test as well as femininity test. It's not either or.
Yeah.
So, like, you can lean high in masculine traits, and you can also lean high in feminine traits. It doesn't mean...
Women...
What I'm saying?
Yeah, of course. Yeah. Women can have these masculine traits that we're talking about.
Yes, yes,
where, like, if you're listening to Loveline right now, and you're like, well, I'm a woman, and I like porn, or I'm a woman, and I like getting penis pictures.
Being goal-oriented, being assertive, decisive. Like, some of these are, like, masculine traits, and I have a lot of masculine traits.
Okay, so, and that speaks to that.
Might explain why I like porn.
Yeah, that is interesting, though, because I feel like there is... But I don't... Like, men aren't that nuanced. I heard somebody describe... I wish I remembered who did this, but it was like a male psychology is just like a door that like opens and closes, and then like female psychology is like a house with all these rooms you can go in, you know what I mean? And some lights are on and some lights are off, and they don't, you know...
Well, I think there's something that explains that a lot is our cycle, because you guys don't have it.
Oh, the menstruation. Is that what I'm saying there, right?
Yes.
Okay, good. Menstruation
good
cycle.
Menstruation
nice.
Cycle.
Nice. My health class teacher in fifth grade is so proud of me
She's
right now.
She's clapping.
But yeah, it's like it's so fascinating to hear all this about the female psychology of with sexuality, because it's so nuanced. Like, I don't think of a man with like all men. Whatever your orientation are probably visual. Like, I would never read a description of a Pornhub video and go like, that's all I need, you know? Like, I want to see what's going on, you know?
Not all men.
Really?
I have friends that...
You love saying
this, though. Friends. No, it's true. I have male friends that love reading erotica, and they don't even watch porn.
What are
You're
they?
You're rubbing your nipples.
He's just getting drops of everything.
Wait,
now.
Where's this from?
I compile them. Don't worry.
So what are those? What are those guys like, though?
Yeah, some of these guys are self-proclaimed demisexuals, so they care more about like emotional connection rather than like kind of visual sexual attraction.
But what are those guys like into outside of that? Because can I be honest with you? I know you're very open-minded, and I love you, and that's why we love you here on Loveline. But somebody who says they're demisexual, I'm gonna go out on a limb and say that that's their entire personality.
Oh my god,
is that
you're
not true?
So judgy. It is not true. It's not true.
I mean,
it is not their entire personality, and they have a lot of other hobbies.
How barren does your life have to be of interest to even have the real estate mentally to entertain the journey to lead you to realizing you're a demisexual?
Well, to be sexually educated is not a bad thing.
Well, that's great, but
he was reading a lot of, you know, Psychology Today and some research, and then he came across the term.
This is one guy.
We talked about it.
This is one guy. Okay.
A couple.
Oh, it's a couple. Okay. By the way, if you're listening to Loveline, you're like, he's a jerk. I'm just kidding around, man. I want everyone to be happy. I really do. I want everyone to be happy.
No, he's a jerk. No.
So the demisexual person.
Yeah.
They're a guy, and they like listening to literotica.
Reading erotica.
Oh, reading erotica. Yeah. And they don't like pornography.
They don't like watching.
They don't like watching it.
Yeah, it desensitizes them, which makes sense. There's a lot of men that feel like porn desensitizes them, and when they have sex with their partners, not as good because...
Okay, but at one
totally
point...
Totally true.
Okay, right, but I know.
Totally true, Tara.
Muggs, the more you say that, the more obvious it is that that is something you're dealing with, just FYI.
I heard it from a friend.
No, what I'm saying, though, is now, if I'm understanding this correctly, this demisexual at one point enjoyed porn.
At one point.
Yeah, of course. So then now he did it too much... And now he doesn't like porn because it desensitized him. But at one point, he did like porn.
Well, he also learned that he prefers connecting with people and being emotionally connected with someone in order to like them sexually.
Yeah.
In person.
No, that's all beautiful. But I'm saying, like, he wasn't... It doesn't sound like this demisexual was born not liking porn. It seems like he abused porn to a certain extent. And then that's why he likes this reading erotica thing.
I don't know. I don't know if he abused porn, per se.
Speaking of abuse, have you seen this movie, The Substance?
Yes.
Okay.
I love the movie. I think she got some Oscar noms. I think Demi Moore got an Oscar nomination.
Yes. Yeah. Well, that's who's in the movie.
Well, yes.
So Demi, and then she also won the Golden Globe, I'm pretty sure.
Did she?
I'm pretty sure.
Oh, yeah. Deserving. Yeah?
Thumbs up?
Yeah.
She won the Golden Globe. I mean, it's an amazing movie. Yeah. I think most movies today like absolutely stink. Mm-hmm. That was a great movie.
Oh, this one killed it. It's so unique.
Well, yeah, and it's just the way it was shot, and the female director is escaping my name, or her name is escaping me right now, but very, very talented, and very, it was just, almost like David Lynch, if you like David Lynch movies at all. I just thought it was kind of cool. Anyways, I'm watching this, and I was thinking about you, and I was thinking about your thoughts on this movie.
Why would you be thinking about me when you watch a monster?
Well, no, it wasn't that part. There's also other parts.
A monster old lady, and you were thinking about me. Thank you.
Well, no, I love Dennis Quaid, and I love you, and then... Dennis Quaid makes me think of you.
Dennis Quaid makes you. This is getting worse.
Anyways,
wait, let's stop.
The movie, if you don't know, it's an aging actress.
Yes.
And there's some prejudice going on with her aging. I'm talking weird about this because I don't want to give away any spoilers.
Well, if you watch the trailer, you'll see it too.
Yeah, all right, like, there you go. I don't want to spoil it because it's really like an amazing movie.
Some sort of medication to make her younger.
Yeah, we can tell a little bit more than that. But basically, she's an aging, like, aerobics, like, you know.
Superstar.
Yeah.
Kind of like what's her name? Jillian Michaels?
Yeah. Or like Jane Fonda, maybe for like an older listener. So she's like losing roles and stuff like that. So she takes a substance that's going to make her the best version of herself. Mm-hmm. And that leads to her having two versions of herself. And one of those versions is portrayed by Jack Antonoff's wife. Her name?
Oh,
Margaret Qualley.
There you go. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, it's this conundrum of like, which side of her new life does she like more? Does she like being the younger person where she's getting all this praise? And you brought up this statement to me, Dr. Tara, that I wrote down. You said there's no one more invisible than an aging woman.
I did not say that. Someone said that.
Well, yeah, but you reiterated that to me.
Yes,
oh,
yes.
Yeah. That's not your quote.
I was asking you, like, have you ever heard of this saying?
Right.
Yeah.
Right. So explain and expound upon that and what they meant by that, whoever they are.
Well, I mean, there is, you know, the truth about... That's why, like, anti-aging is a billion-dollar industry.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Right? How much... I'll be honest.
But not just women. Men get Botox left and right.
So like, Botox
we'll
is considered...
We'll ask Dr. Josh after. But, like, men... Yeah, men are... Men care about it. You know that guy, Don't Die Summit?
No.
What? He's like the biggest guy on the internet right now.
It's called he holds the Don't Die Summit.
Uh-huh.
Spoiler alert. How many people go to this thing?
Tons.
They're all going to die.
Well, yes.
They're all going to die.
Yes. Yeah. Brian Johnson.
Is Brian Johnson the guy who's like 60, but he looks pretty good?
I don't think he looks that good, but...
Okay. But he looks pretty... idea is that
he takes
looks good.
Like 100 vitamins a day.
Okay.
And then does all these wellness things to like... You roll back his age, his biological age. But yeah, anyways, I think aging is a huge topic.
Are NADs part of that process?
Yes.
Yeah.
NRDs?
NADs. What are
NADs?
Explain, Tara, please.
And I mean, I don't even know.
NADs?
Yeah, they're like IVs that people get now. It's like really popular in Hollywood. People are getting NADs left and right.
Why does Muggs know about
this? You know, people go get IVs, right? They get like Myers cocktail, glutathione, like whatever. And then they get NADs and they're like $500 a pop.
Really?
Yeah.
I bet you they all die around the same age as like the guy 50 years ago. No, I'm being serious. You're getting all this stuff. I just like, you could still get hit by a car and you could also still like just have something genetic. Well, I mean, yeah, let's not paint the picture. But the anti-aging, you said it's a $1 billion industry. How much of that industry and those $1 billion do you think comes from Los Angeles, Miami, and New York?
All of it.
All of it, right? I mean, it's really, and that's kind of what they examine in this movie, The Substance, we were just talking about, mm-hmm. with like the entertainment industry mm-hmm. and how they sort of dispose of aging women.
Yeah.
And it kind of examines, you were saying there's no one more invisible than an aging woman.
Well, have you ever heard of the term invisible woman syndrome?
No. I remember there's a 98 Degrees song called Invisible Man. That's my contribution. That's a good song, right,
Mons? Very different.
I don't remember that song.
Oh, it's good. Look
so studies show that 7 out of 10 older women often experience the feeling of being invisible in society. Okay? 7 out of 10
to
older women.
To society or to men like trying to sleep with them?
Well, not just men trying to sleep with them, but they don't feel desirable. And there's a whole term that explains the phenomenon.
When was this study done? Does it say? Because
one,
I think it's never 2010. All right. I don't think there's ever been a better time to be an older woman and wanting to be seen.
Explain.
Just the explosion of MILF culture, sort of post-American Pie, coining that term 25 years ago. Sofia Vergara, if I'm saying her name properly.
Yeah, but all that is all like objectification of sexy women.
Okay.
Like, what if you're not a sexy woman with huge breasts?
Well, yeah.
Are you still desirable?
I mean, isn't it in the eye of the desired? Or, you know, well, my thing is this is like, is that a problem in society?
What? Older
like,
women?
That women feel invisible in their older age? Is that a problem?
Yeah.
I mean, I guess it sounds like a little bit of a mental health problem, right? In the sense of like it's affecting people's mental health in a bad way and self worth. But it's one of these things where how do you solve that? Because I just feel like you're going to try to, to solve that is to try and rewire. Like male, if we're speaking like heterosexually, mm-hmm. male, instinct, human nature, and I just think human
like male
nature,
male interest.
Yeah, like I just think since the dawn of time, men will probably predominantly prefer like the younger, more fertile woman, whether he realizes it or not, versus like an older woman for that reason.
Well, if you're using just evolutionary theory, like yes, right, because you want to have a woman who's fertile. But not everyone's attraction is based on evolutionary theory. Not anymore. Not in new society. Like
right.
I said before, like a lot of people don't want to have kids. A lot of men don't want to have kids.
But maybe they don't consciously want to have kids, but like they subconsciously are still attracted to that younger. Because why are so many men? Well, I was just with a buddy today and my girlfriend asked him, he's single and he's like looking for somebody. And she's like, oh, like what's the youngest? Like she was trying to matchmake a little bit. And then he said 21 and I think he's 35.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think you'd hear a lot of 35-year-old women being like, yeah, I'd date a 21-year-old guy.
Oh, we shall talk about that later.
All right. Yeah, we will actually get into that later. Coming up next, we're going to be joined by Dr. Joshua Gonzalez. He is affectionately known by Dr. Tara here as the Hollywood penis doctor. Muggs made a guess that it must mean he is the Hollywood penis doctor, which is very suited of Muggs. And we'll get into what Joshua does. It is quite fascinating. That is coming up on the other side of this on Loveline.
Loveline will be right back.
Loveline on K-Rock.
No one else can find the trouble so quickly or repair it so economically.
Loveline's coming right back. Hang on.
KROQ.
And now, back to Loveline.
Loveline with Kevin Kenny and Dr. Tara.
Loveline on K-Rock.
Yes, that is true. Everything that man said, whoever that man is. Kevin Kenny, Dr. Tara, producer Muggs is here. We're going to be joined in just a moment by Dr. Joshua Gonzalez. He is Hollywood's penis doctor.
Woo!
And what that all entails, we will get to the bottom of it, I assure you. I did want to let you know that you can text the word only. The word only. That is O-N-L-Y
to 20357 for a chance to win tickets to Nine Inch Nails September 18th at the Kia Forum. So if you want to go see them, that is the word only to 20357 for a chance at those tickets. All right. That out of the way. We are going to do a new, well, not a new segment, but we actually have some, we have an intro to this now. Do you want to hear this, Dr. Tar? Check this
out.
We do? Uh-huh.
This is Love Line.
Just what I wanted.
And now, time for Love Bites.
Oh. Nasty, aren't you?
Wow, I actually really love that. Well, Love Bites. Love Bites is a bite-sized sex research facts of the day. And today, I want to ask you, Kevin.
Okay.
Guess how many guys are happy with their penis size?
Ooh. I'm not even trying to be funny. 5%.
5%?
I think 5%.
Why so low?
I just feel like guys are stupid. We're all stupid.
Are you happy with your penis size?
I am. But
so
you're
the 5%?
Yeah, but I'm older now. I'm older now. I'm more mature. I wasn't always, right?
Mux, we need that voice clip.
Oh yeah, hold on.
That was the perfect time to do it.
Yeah, you missed it.
Don't do it now.
You have a small penis.
Okay,
no, but I would imagine most aren't.
Oh yeah, a survey of 52,000 heterosexuals.
Where do they find?
Found that.
Sorry,
85% of women were satisfied with the male partner's penis size. So
85%
of women are satisfied with their male partner's penis size. But only 55% of men were satisfied of their penis size.
55% of men were satisfied?
Mm-hmm. So 45% were not and wanted to be larger. So almost half the men in the world
I thought it would
want
be way
their penises
more.
To be larger. Well, some of them are lying.
Yeah, I mean, you got to know, like,
it's a survey.
Like, yeah,
so.
Like, who was around when they asked this?
Yeah,
were
right?
A bunch of chicks, you know what I mean? Like,
I'm satisfied.
No, I'm great. Wow, 55%.
Are satisfied, so 45% are not.
Okay.
So 45% want their penises to be bigger.
Yeah, I thought that would be more. I think it actually is more. I think that's
already half.
Well, if there's one person that would know how men truly feel about their penis size, it is our guest. We are being joined by Dr. Joshua Gonzalez, affectionately coined, of course, by Dr. Tara and potentially more as Hollywood's penis doctor. And just some background on Josh, board certified and fellowship trained urologist and sexual medicine specialist who focuses on managing sexual dysfunctions in men and women at his self-named practice right here in West Hollywood, which is a neighborhood. If you're listening outside of LA, it's a neighborhood everyone knows, I think.
Everyone knows West
Hollywood. Everybody knows West Hollywood, right?
West Hollywood.
At his state-of-the-art facility, Dr. Gonzalez understands the toll hormone deficiencies, menopause, arousal disorders, and erectile dysfunction can take on one's quality of life. And so Josh here offers complete general urology and sexual health care at his office to patients, many of who identify as members of the LGBTQ+ community. I was going to ask Joshua about that. And Dr. Gonzalez offers complete general urology and sexual health care at this office. Please welcome to Loveline, Dr. Joshua Gonzalez.
Thank you, guys. Thank you. I'm happy to be here.
And just for context, if you're listening on the podcast, it's 10:30 p.m. in L.A.,
yeah.
And he's here. And we gave him the option to call in, and the doctor said, no, I will make a house call. So thank you very much for being
you're
here.
Yeah, I don't go out
you.
On school nights very often.
Yeah,
this is big for me.
Make yes. an exception.
Yeah.
So I just to ask you just to set the table here, I hear you are a Hollywood penis doctor. What does that mean?
Well, most of what I do for male patients that come to see me has to do with their penis.
Okay.
So Tara just happened to throw the Hollywood part into it.
Of course.
Of course, I can't reveal the patients that I
of course.
See in my office. But yeah, I see a lot of penises, do a lot of work with penises. So
okay.
That's
particularly helping penises become bigger.
Bigger,
is this true?
Harder, faster, yeah, all of that.
So,
is that a Kanye West song?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. It's Daft Punk, actually.
Oh,
yeah.
So,
how do you go about making a penis bigger? Because I've, you know, of course, I remember like pumps back in the day, or you'd hear all these sort of old wives' tales about hanging weights and whatnot. And I'm sure you hear this every day, the sort of skepticism. But can you get an implant in your penis?
He's asking for a friend.
Yeah,
right,
exactly,
of course.
Exactly. Come see me in my office.
It's across the street.
Yeah, when you see my car parked out front. I thought he was happy with his penis.
I thought you were the 5%.
Right.
Yeah, no. so there are surgical options for sure. I am not a huge fan of those because they just, you know, surgery comes with risk. Some of the treatments that I do in my office are, the primary one is using filler, which, you know, cosmetic filler, the same that people put into their lips and their face to add volume. We do in the penis to add volume down there.
So that would add to girth?
Yep. It's primarily a girth enhancing treatment. There's not a lot of like safe non-surgical options, I would say, to make erect penises longer. But the filler treatment primarily works on girth, but it does help your flaccid penis hang lower. So a lot of guys are happy with that. They can walk around feeling more confident in the locker room or at home and kind of show off a little bit more.
In the locker room?
Yeah, I was going to, I heard him say
maybe
that.
It's just the locker
and
room.
And I said, man, don't let old guys at my gym find out about this because they're already too confident in the locker room.
Oh, yeah. Really?
The last thing they need is to get, be even
fillers.
More.
Oh,
yeah. I mean, really. So, when you so the penis will get wider, girthier,
fatter, yeah,
with the filler,
yeah,
much like cheeks do, or where else do people
lips.
Get filler?
Lips,
okay. So, but then if you become erect, like it's the same size as it was before.
No, it's also fatter when you're erect, so it translates to like a increase in girth for both flaccid and erect, because it kind of stretches as your penis stretches and gets bigger as well.
And how long of like a runway of like research do we have on this in terms of like is it
he's
is
asking
it good?
For a friend
like in terms of safety?
Yeah, or,
so I mean penis filler has only been happening I would say probably for the last like 5 maybe 10 years,
right?
Filler has been around for a long time.
Yeah.
So we're using the same type of filler that's been used for 20 plus years, right?
Right on.
Which has a great safety profile. But in the penis specifically, there's only actually been, I think, a couple of smaller studies that have looked specifically at safety outcomes. And it kind of matches with the safety outcomes of filler used elsewhere in the body. It's very, very safe. I should caveat and say it depends on what type of filler you're using. So in my office, we use hyaluronic acid, which is the most common type of filler that people use to enhance their lips and their face. There are some other permanent types of filler, or collagen stimulating fillers that last a little bit longer, which can sound attractive to somebody, but they're also a little bit riskier to use. So if you have, you know, an area that looks a little uneven, with the filler that we use, it's very easy to correct. You can inject it with an enzyme to kind of dissolve that a little part of it to make it look more even.
How often do you have to get, because filler, you have to like redo it, right?
Yeah.
So how often, if you want a girthier penis, like how often do you have to go get, you're laughing, but that's what people are going for. It's not fun.
He's asking for a friend.
No. There are people that listen to this. But are there, like, how often would you have to go? How often would a guy have to go?
So it lasts about 2 to 3 years.
Wow.
Yeah. That's so long.
Yeah, it's actually longer than...
It's actually
most people,
wider.
Most people that are doing, you know, lip filler, for instance, are doing it a couple times a year sometimes, once a year.
Mm-hmm. That was my impression.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. So with this area of the body, we do it less often.
Well, we also use the lips more, right?
Yes.
Like, we use the lips all the time.
Yeah,
we drink water,
for yourself.
Eat food.
Yeah.
Oh, you don't drink water or eat food?
I'm going to just...
Or perform oral sex?
He's on a strictly sex diet.
Yeah, that's how I eat, man, all right?
Yeah.
That's how I put food on the table.
That's how I get my calories.
Sit down, manly man.
No, but with your patients, and if I ever ask something that, you know, violates any sort of HIPAA, please just stop me. But when your patients that come in and they ask for like this procedure, do you ever see what they have and go, oh man, you like you're fine?
Oh, I would say most of the people that I treat are fine.
Yeah,
I mean most of the guys that are coming in for this procedure have normal sized penises, right? But you know, it's one of those things that people end up doing to feel more confident.
Yeah.
In themselves, with their body image, they feel more confident in bed. It often translates to partners being happier because they see how happy their partner is. So,
do you think the partner is like, because I'm just trying to picture, like, is it enough where like the partner would notice? Is this something you have to share with your partner? Like,
I mean, I encourage my patients to share. They don't always do that. Some people come in sort of secret and then...
Secret?
Yeah, they don't tell their partners they're getting it, and then there's a period of abstinence after the procedure because you need to like let everything.
How long's that?
It's like 10 days.
Oh, that's not bad.
Wow, that's so short.
But if you are living with someone and you're used to having sex a couple times a week, and then suddenly you like can't have sex for 10 days, that's usually when they end up finding out.
Are most of them in relationships or single, or do you not even get that far with the patient?
I usually do ask like just casually. I think it's a mixed bag.
Okay.
I've seen, you know, people that have been in long-term relationships, people that are in open relationships, people that are newly divorced and, you know, out in the dating field and want to feel more confident. So there's, you know...
Newly divorced. Like, get a Corvette, get a new penis.
Exactly.
That's the new thing, right?
Yeah.
That's better like sports, dick is the new Corvette.
Yeah, like, sports car sales are going down, and your business is probably booming. When they get this, I would have an aversion to any needle like going near my private area.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you numb them?
Yeah.
Okay, so you numb them.
Yeah.
And then how's the procedure done? I mean, don't be too descriptive because we're on the radio, but like, do they lie down?
Yeah, we usually have them laying down.
Okay.
You can use a combination of sort of topical numbing creams, and then we inject them with lidocaine as well. But we're using, I mean, with those injections, we're using like tiny little insulin syringes. So
right.
It feels like a quick little pinch, and then the whole area is kind of numb for a few hours, and right after we numb it, then we start putting in the filler. We use needles to do that.
Okay.
But you don't feel any of that.
So, yeah. And then it doesn't affect like urinating or anything like that? Okay, that's cool.
No.
And then do you ever, not that this would be like self-evident, but do you think, or have you found that more people are heterosexual, homosexual, like in terms of the
custom, good question.
This procedure?
My practice probably, I see a lot of gay men in my practice.
Mm-hmm.
I would say for this particular procedure, it might skew a little bit more straight.
Interesting.
But it's a mixed bag. I mean, I definitely see gay and straight men.
Right.
For sure. Like, that are getting this done.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
Wow. And so how did you, like, get into this line of work?
Urology,
you know, as a kid, you just want to be a doctor.
Yeah, I walked up to my mom one day and I was like, I want to take care of penises.
Yeah.
No, I actually didn't know what urology was when I went to medical school.
What is? I still don't. So, what is urology?
So we are like doctors of the genitourinary tract. So that's everything having to do with like urination.
Okay.
And like your genitals.
Okay.
So, you know, for most urologists are treating primarily men. So it's everything from like cancer involving like kidney, bladder, prostate, you know, penis cancer, testicular cancer, to like guys just having trouble peeing as they get older.
Right. What's up with that? I hear that. Like when you get older, you can't pee. Like you're like stoked if you peed.
Yeah. Yeah. So your prostate is one of the organs in the body that continues to grow throughout your life, right? So most of our organs grow to a certain point and then they just stop, right?
Like,
but your nose gets bigger your whole life, your ears get bigger, and your prostate gets bigger. And as it gets larger, it starts to obstruct the outlet of the bladder where your urine comes out of.
Oh.
And so it's sort of like you're pinching off the hose.
Yeah, right?
So the hose isn't as wide and you can't get the urine out.
So question for Dr. Tara.
I have a question too.
Can I ask you a question really quick?
Sure.
So if a man, an older man, has a larger prostate, does that mean he has like a larger G-spot, or can he get more pleasure out of the prostate if it's larger?
Well, I mean, I guess there's more area to massage, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I don't think that there's like a correlation between prostate size and sensitivity.
Right.
Because you could have a huge one and not sensitive,
and there's a lot of like younger gay men with like prostates that are probably pretty small that are really enjoying anal sex. So,
That's interesting. Wait. So, like, what do you mean by that?
Well, when you're younger, your prostate's like small, right? It's like a small 20 gram little walnut.
Yeah.
Just because it's a smaller prostate, like that doesn't mean that someone can't enjoy anal sex from just having that area stimulated.
Right. Gotcha.
So, yeah, it can still be sensitive.
Right.
Exactly. Yeah.
Do you ever see old guys at these like sex parties you go to, Dr. Tara?
Yes.
How old? Like old enough where they might have prostate issues?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Definitely.
What's the oldest? How old is the oldest guy you've
seen? I don't go up to people and ask, dude, how old are
you? Yeah, but if you had to, like, if I was at a diner right now and I'd be like, that guy looks like he's 100, or that guy looks like he's 60. Like,
okay.
What do you think's the old? Have you seen an 80-year-old?
No.
You haven't seen an 80-year-old?
But like on porn?
No, at these sex parties you go to.
No.
So what about 70-year-old?
You've probably seen a 70-year-old.
Potentially,
yeah. Yeah, have you seen
a lot of good-looking 70-year-olds in LA? Yeah.
Well, now it's so crazy. Yeah. You ever think about like what a 70-year-old was when we were kids?
Oh, my God.
And it was like, and now.
Golden Girls where they were like in their early 50s.
Crazy. Yeah. Crazy.
Yeah. Halle Berry.
If you ever need, if you ever need to like balance yourself out, if things are just going like amazing for you and you just need like a humility check, look up the ages of the Golden Girls.
Yeah, yeah.
And you'll just go, wow, all right, I'm just going to chill out for a second.
Yeah, I'm almost there.
It's crazy. But like there are really good looking 70-year-olds nowadays.
Yes.
But have you ever seen somebody at a sex party, Dr. Hara, that you were like, that's somebody's grandpa?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Really? Have you ever seen somebody that was like somebody's grandma?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
And what were they, like, don't be too descriptive, were they, like, getting down?
Yeah.
Really?
Good for them.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
I mean, have you been to Burning Man?
No, but a girl actually, like, kind of broke up with me over Burning Man one time.
Oh.
Well, because she went to Burning Man. I met this girl on an airplane, and then we were kind of hooking up, and it was kind of awkward. And
didn't end up getting married?
No, I didn't wind up getting married. I'm not married now. What do you?
I met Brent on the plane. We ended up getting married.
Oh, okay. I was like, what is this joke? Anyways, so I was seeing this girl, and then there was like some time we didn't talk, and then we were catching up, and she told me she went to Burning Man. And I think, from what she had told me, the most interesting thing in Burning Man is there's a dome, and you go in the dome, and you can just have sex, like, you know, if they consent. And I'm like, that's fascinating.
Yeah, so anyways, orgy dome.
The orgy dome. Mm-hmm. I was like, that's crazy. I've never heard of anything like that.
Must smell good in there.
Oh, yeah. Smells delicious.
I don't think they like guys that look like you in Mike.
I like it. Smell of liberation.
But my point is, so then we left after having these drinks, whatever. We didn't hook up or whatever. And she texted me. She's like, hey, like, I don't want to see you again because you, like, objectified me and made me, like, uncomfortable. And this is somebody, like, I knew. And I wasn't being gross about it. I was just genuinely, like, fascinated of like how it worked and whatever. So that's my only connection to Burning Man. And then I felt bad when everyone got stranded there recently.
Well, yeah, I know. But I said that because when you go, you meet quite a few of these older people that are very like liberated and they're like naked. And
but those are cool grandparents.
Exactly,
I'm saying, like,
but it's the
ever,
same people that go to the sex parties.
Uncool grandparents aren't going to sex parties.
Right. I'm trying to get at like, have you ever
cool
seen like a guy?
Only cool grams.
Exactly.
So have you seen somebody at, let me put it this way. Have you ever seen somebody having sex at one of these sex parties that if you saw them outside of a Ralph's, you would hold the door for them?
Yes.
Really? That's crazy to me.
I'm just polite.
That's just fascinating to me.
But yeah, I have a question. I heard this a lot, but never from an actual source. Just like, you know, TikTok, whatever. And they say like, if you live long enough, you'll eventually get prostate cancer.
Yeah, that's true.
That's true?
Yeah, yeah.
If
you live long enough, you get prostate cancer.
Think about it, like, just it's pretty easy to understand. So cancer is just unregulated cell growth, right? So if you have an organ that continues to grow throughout your life, it is at risk for developing cancer. And they did like an autopsy study. This is like a long time ago because I remember reading about this when I was in medical school, and that was already like 20 years ago.
Oh, really? I thought it was last year.
I wish. But yeah, so in autopsies, like specimens, they looked at men, and like 80% of the cadavers that were in their 80s had prostate cancer when they did the autopsy. But most of those men die of other causes. So it's a very slow growing cancer for most people. We screen men, you know, pretty early, starting around age 50. And it's a very curable and treatable cancer. So it's, you know, if you, you know, are unfortunate enough to get a cancer diagnosis, a prostate cancer diagnosis, it's one of those cancers that's like pretty treatable.
When should men go get tested?
For prostate cancer?
Yeah.
So around 50 is usually when I tell my patients, if you're someone who's at like greater risk than the average person, like if you have multiple family members who've had prostate cancer, you may want to consider getting screened earlier. Black men are at increased risk of prostate cancer, so they probably should screen earlier than other men.
Why is that?
It's probably just like genetic. Yeah, because it's
What is it about like black people?
I don't know.
It's just a thing.
Yeah.
That's one of the,
I mean, there are certain cancers that like, you know, Caucasian people or Asian people are more at risk for, like stomach cancer, for instance, is like more common in Asian people.
It's the food that we eat.
Yeah. I mean, it's probably related to something like that. Yeah. These cancers that are like more prevalent in certain communities, it's not fully understood why that is the case. But
So what cancers are for white people?
Most of them, actually.
Oh, no. Like skin cancer.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. Oh, well, we're learning a bunch about cancers. But yeah, if you live to 80, Kevin, you'll get prostate cancer.
That's pretty crazy.
Yeah.
I always think of these people where they just like, they die and people go, what happened? Oh, they're just old.
Oh, I have a fun fact about prostate cancer. If you want to reduce your risk of prostate cancer.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, men who ejaculate more have a reduced risk of prostate cancer.
Interesting. So that is good. Now, but there's a balance, right? Because now I actually love having you here because it's like two sides of I think a lot of curiosity for the Loveline audience. So you got to tell me if you're dumping me. Are you dumping me?
Yeah, use the medical term.
Okay.
Yeah.
Are you dumping me?
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah.
We're done. We're over.
We use ejaculate.
All right. So you're saying that men that ejaculate more.
Yeah.
It's better to avoid prostate cancer. Now, what about some of the callers we've heard from that are these like chronic masturbators that are probably doing that a lot? So maybe their prostate's healthy, but then that's not good for them overall?
Well, I mean, I'd always say that daily masturbation is healthy, but then there are people that are like calling it was like, I masturbate like 10 times a day.
Right.
And it becomes a disruption to your life.
Totally.
Not necessarily bad for your health.
Leave your house because you're masturbating too much. Probably
canceling
too
plans.
Much.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is a nice little song. That was like, I think I didn't realize the depths of that. Where I've gone through times in my life, I'm like, I'm probably watching this a little too much. I probably shouldn't be doing this, right? But like, we've heard from people, doctor, that like cancel plans.
Yeah.
They'll like, you know,
people just love masturbating.
Yeah, I mean it you know, releases stress. There's a lot of benefits to masturbation for sure.
Yeah,
and I don't ever like put a number on it. Like you should only masturbate this many times per week or whatever. But it's just like with anything else, right? Like if it's serving a purpose for you and it's a healthy practice for you, great, keep doing it. If it's something that's interfering with your ability to sort of do daily tasks or seek out sexual or romantic relationships, like then it's probably, you probably have a problematic relationship with masturbation.
So what else do you offer? If I'm using that the proper vernacular, well, so what else do you offer at your practice?
Yeah, so I mean, it's basically like a comprehensive sexual health practice. So we treat patients of all genders for a variety of sexual health issues. So like the big ones would be things like erectile dysfunction, premature ejaculation, low sexual desire. I do a lot of hormone replacement therapy for men. So that's like testosterone replacement therapy. I treat perimenopausal and menopausal women with hormone replacement therapy. I have a lot of patients who have pelvic pain or experience pain from sex. Mm. So we treat both, both of those issues as well.
Sorry, Kev. Dr. Josh, before you go, gas station boner pills, yay or nay?
Stay away, please.
Why do you say that?
So they're not regulated, right, by anybody.
So how can you sell them? If they're like, they're not regulated.
You can sell a lot of things with that are not
regulated. You can sell anything.
Like, I just found out that like the nicotine Zyns are now regulated, but before they weren't regulated. Going, how did they legally sell that?
Yeah.
I mean, you can sell anything. If you go on website, like, I don't know, Etsy or something, like, you can make like at-home products and sell them.
Like guns.
Like pharmaceuticals?
Yeah. Selling,
who's selling
tinctures,
pharmaceuticals?
Yeah, tinctures and potions. Like
that's different than like pills.
No, but I mean, the gas station supplements, they've had some studies where they've actually taken them and analyzed them in a lab. And like they can be, not to say that all of them are, but they can be full of like caffeine. Sometimes they have like rubber particles in them.
Really?
And sometimes they have actual pharmaceutical medications in them. So they've found that some of those actually have sildenafil, which is the generic for
really
Viagra. Yeah, so you know, people are taking these things thinking they're like an all natural way to like enhance bedroom performance, but sometimes they're, you know, they have
just like low dose Viagra.
Exactly. But but Viagra is not a medication that everybody should take, right? There are contraindications to taking the medicine. And so if you have somebody who falls into that category and picks up one of these boner pills, takes it, they can have like a serious cardiac issue. You know what I mean?
So with like obviously more young men than ever are taking like the sildenafil.
Yeah.
So with anything, it's going to get abused.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? And especially like with like young people. Do you know what happens with like such a thing as like Viagra abuse?
Good band.
I don't see a ton of Viagra abuse because most of the men that I see, I do see a lot of young men with real erectile dysfunction. So like they need the medication. So I don't really classify it as abuse. I'm sure it happens. I just don't, given the nature of what I do, I see patients that have a real problem. And that's one of the solutions that we give them.
How do you treat like low, you said something, low arousal?
Low libido? Or low sexual desire?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like low sexual desire. Yeah. So not erectile dysfunction,
right. But
low sexual desire.
Yeah, so in men, low desire is often related to erectile dysfunction. As an example, in like the Viagra trials in the 90s, right? Men who took Viagra in those studies reported improved erectile function, but also improved sexual desire.
Mm.
So there's a very clear association between erectile function and libido, but they are actually separate phenomenon, right? So there are some men who have totally normal erections and have no desire for sex, and there are other men who have a lot of desire for sex, but their penis just doesn't work, right? They can't get hard or can't stay hard. So you have to kind of address both issues.
Interesting. Yeah. So we unfortunately have to get to break, doctor. But where is like the best place? Of course, on Instagram, you are Joshua Gonzalez, MD.
Yeah.
And is there anything else you'd like to like let the listeners know, both here in LA and people who listen to the podcast?
Yeah, I am always trying to advocate for people to find solutions for sexual health issues. So I think, you know, if you're someone who is struggling, you know, not having good sex, want to have better sex, having a problem with sex, you know, seek out solutions. Follow me on Instagram, on TikTok, go to my website, joshuagonzalezmd.com. There's a lot of just like helpful information there that, you know, may not apply to you, but maybe your partner is dealing with that problem. So,
yeah. Well, thanks so much for taking the time.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
We got to chat again soon. This is great.
Yeah.
We'll be back with more Loveline.
More Loveline coming up with Kevin Kenny and Dr. Tara.
Call or text 833-LOVE-191.
K-Rock.
This is Loveline.
What up? Hour number two of Loveline. If you're listening on the world famous KROQ. And just the middle of the podcast, I guess, if you're listening on the podcast. It's Kevin Kenny, Dr. Tara. Producer Muggs is here as well. Last hour on the show, just to bring you up to speed, for those listening on the radio, we were talking about Mark Zuckerberg, man. He is just too darn horny these days, staring at Jeff Bezos' fiance's breastises. We talked about The Substance, the movie The Substance with Demi Moore, which kind of ties into, that's unfinished business. We'll get back to that in a moment. And then we were just joined by the amazing Dr. Joshua Gonzalez, the West Hollywood penis doctor that we learned of. I mean, I learned more from that guy than anybody I've talked to.
Your health class?
Yeah, I mean, that was fascinating. He's a doctor here in West Hollywood, Los Angeles. He will offer filler treatment.
Yeah, penis
for
fillers.
Penises, where you can, if you want a girthier penis.
Yes.
You can go to Dr. Joshua Gonzalez, and they've got that service. It is lasts 2 to 3 years, too, which I think is a great deal.
He's my go-to person to call for all penis questions.
Yes. And then as we hear Muggs' computer, which is insane.
He's calling Dr. Joshua Gonzalez
to make
an appointment.
I know, he's calling him right now. And then also, Dr. Joshua Gonzalez does a whole heck of a lot more than that.
Right.
So if you've got any sexual health needs here in the West Hollywood area, please, or just Los Angeles.
Go to his practice.
Check him out. Now, earlier last hour, as I mentioned, we were talking about this movie, The Substance. It stars Demi Moore, and it really examines how messed up this industry of Hollywood can be with aging actresses specifically, and specifically if you're the aging actress, as Demi Moore portrays in the film, that may have been known as sort of like a sex symbol, you know.
When they were younger.
Yeah, when they were younger, and then how that affects people. And, you know, the movie is quite grotesque. But I think in a very important way, because they present these visual grotesque things to sort of display how grotesque the behavior is towards aging women in Hollywood. So we were kind of talking about that, and I was contesting that it's never been a better time to be an aging woman because of sort of MILF culture and because of the celebration of older women and their beauty. You know, even I think Pamela Anderson now, not wearing makeup, I believe is like this sort of stance she's taken.
She's so beautiful.
She is very beautiful. And I think it's a good time. And then you brought up this three named person that I am not familiar
three
with.
Three named person?
Now, Muggs, can you name a three named person? Who do you think we're referring to?
Jonathan Taylor Thomas.
That's what I was going to say. That's what I thought. Who's a three named person I know? And it's the same actor from Home Improvement. So clearly, Muggs and I get out. But no, this is Aaron Taylor Johnson.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And before I even explain why we're talking about ATJ, does anyone call him ATJ?
No.
Okay. ATJ.
Nobody.
ATJ. There's a drop. ATJ. Before I even talk about why we're talking about Sir Aaron Taylor Johnson, who is this?
Okay, so Aaron Taylor Johnson is a huge Hollywood movie star.
Why have I never heard of him?
What?
What movies is he in?
The Bullet Train with Brad Pitt.
Okay.
Have you seen it?
No. Wasn't that like
so
that? I didn't think that was
he
in
is
theaters.
Extremely attractive.
Was he opposite Brad Pitt, or was he just he happened to be in that movie? Like, was he
what
starring?
Do you mean opposite?
Well, you can star in a film or you can
yeah,
be in a
film.
Yeah,
he's one of the main ones. He's not the leading because he's not Brad Pitt.
Yeah.
But he's one of the main
okay,
ones.
Okay, so he's
yeah.
in Bullet Train.
Yes.
Anything else?
That movie, what is it called? Like, Craigen?
Craven.
Yeah.
Have you ever heard of this guy, Muggs?
Now that I looked him up, yeah.
Okay,
he's
you have.
He's in Nosferatu, Kick-Ass.
I don't know any of these movies.
28 Years Later.
Well, anyways.
He's
very attractive.
He's very attractive. Paint the picture in case anybody knows. So how old do you think this guy
so
is?
He has like long curly hair.
Well, not that descriptive, but he's an attractive guy. And how old do you think he is?
I think now he's in his 30s.
Muggs.
Now he's
Muggs,
in
how
his
old is
30s.
He is, hold on, 34.
Okay, so he's 34 years old. And so that kind of plays into why we're talking about this guy. So he has a huge age gap with his wife.
I thought you were going to say something else.
So this is...
Sam Taylor Johnson, yes.
Whoa, wait. Aaron? Wait, oh, her name is Sam Taylor Johnson.
Yeah.
I was like, what are the chances that he dated or met a woman with three names? So, okay, he's Aaron Taylor Johnson. She's Sam Taylor Johnson.
Yes.
Okay, so this age gap is described as huge. How big is the age gap?
23 years.
So he's 34.
Years. So he's, they met when
well, before
she,
we even get to that, mm-hmm. he's 34. So she's 57.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Muggs, how do you feel about that?
I mean, that's what he's into. It's whatever floats his boat, right?
Could you ever do that? What do you think is the biggest age gap that you've had with a woman you've dated or slept with?
8 years.
That's it?
Yeah.
That's you never
wow.
tried like the cougar thing.
Mm-mm.
Why not?
didn't
wasn't your thing?
No, I wouldn't say it wasn't my thing. It's just I never came across the opportunity.
Really? All the bars you go to in the valley, there's not a cougar bar?
Well, yeah, but like I mean, I'm not actively pursuing the options
for cougars
there.
Okay.
Where I go.
You're being
on apps.
So careful you never, like, right
slid,
now.
You never slid the date range up just like, you know, you're drinking one night. You're like, let's have a night. Let's
I
see
did
what happens.
I did an app
That's
once.
That's terrible.
I did an app once and I
what
never
do you mean
did
you
it
did
again.
An app? What does
yeah,
that mean?
I partook in an app.
Oh, you signed
dating
up?
Dating app.
Yeah,
oh,
and
really?
I did, it was just not.
It wasn't for you?
No.
What didn't you like about that? You're a writer. You're creative. Why didn't you like being on an app?
I didn't know that was all about writing and creativity.
Well,
I mean,
it's not about writing or creativity.
Well, you guys are crazy. Are you kidding me? People's aversion to those things a lot of the time is they don't like to write about themselves or they don't like to text. They just like to meet people.
Oh.
So I'm saying, what did you not like about it?
I think a lot of the times, and not on my end, but on the other end, like sex was expected. Like,
and you didn't like that?
Not on all of them.
Oh. Okay.
No. You don't want
really?
To just be
and,
like a...
And you can't tell by the pictures, really.
No.
You can't ever.
But that's interesting that you didn't like that sex was expected.
Like I said, not with the person.
With the people.
Yeah.
Oh, is it a person? Is there like one that was real bad?
I wouldn't say they're really bad. I just didn't... I didn't have
you
any...
You had a bad experience with them.
No, I just didn't have a desire to have sex with them.
Wow, but it was bad enough where you didn't want to do the apps anymore.
Yeah, dude. It's,
what are we talking about here? Like, what do you mean by bad?
It's just, I mean, it wasn't...
It was an uncomfortable enough situation where he said, you know what, I don't like this and I'm never doing this again.
Yeah.
He also doesn't have a problem getting laid. You know, no, he really doesn't.
Yeah, you told me.
We've talked about it on the
yeah.
show.
Yeah, like he owns the bar.
I don't know if he owns
let's
the
not,
bar.
Let's
no,
slow
I
down.
Just think. I just think let's women meet him. Women meet him, and maybe you can like shine light on it. He's just like a lovable guy. He like you feel safe with Muggs. Like, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And you're not safe with Muggs.
I feel
That's the
safe
magic
with
trick.
Muggs.
But you feel safe with Muggs.
Oh,
yeah.
Good to
I escort Tara out every night. Oh, well, every Sunday night, rather.
To my car.
Yep.
So you're saying I'm not actually safe.
Well,
yeah,
I wouldn't trust him as far as I could throw him.
Okay.
But so anyways, he's never dabbled with the older ladies. 34 years?
So they
Is that what you said? 34 years?
What do you mean?
No, he's 34.
He's 34.
Yeah.
What's
the
age gap?
23 years.
23.
Yeah.
Okay. So when did they meet?
They met when she was 42. And he was 19.
How does that happen?
At a movie, like audition.
At an audition?
Yeah.
What, were they both auditioning, or was she casting?
I think they were both auditioning, not for the same role.
Yeah, of course. No, of course.
Yeah, but I think they were both trying to work on a movie,
and they
literally fell in love, and just 1 year after meeting, the guy proposed. Her and they got married.
So there's a lot of things wrong with this relationship. A lot of
not
question
according
marks.
To what they say.
Well, what do they
so
say?
So he said, I just know that it works. I just feel secure and loved and safe. We have a very deep connection and we're just in sync.
When did he say that? How long into the marriage?
Recently.
Was that on the honeymoon?
He said that recently. And they have a kid together too.
They had a child together.
Mm-hmm.
Wait a minute. So
yeah,
How old was she when they got pregnant?
I think just 2 years after that.
So
marriage.
Like mid-40s though.
Yeah.
That's pretty
yeah.
impressive. That's mm-hmm. pretty good. God bless them.
Well, I guess with a 22-year-old sperm.
Yeah. Is that true? Do we know if that's true? That like younger sperm is stronger and better?
Well, yeah.
Is it? Or are we just assuming?
I'm assuming.
We're assuming.
But younger can also mean healthier, right?
Yeah, that is true.
As you get older, you tend to have like
definitely.
More illnesses.
So my question is what do you think that's about? I mean, because what's like, do they talk about like, is his mom in the picture?
They're not talking about his family.
Okay, because I think this is
are
all
you theorizing.
Yeah,
about his
I
mom?
Think this is 110% about whatever he went through as a kid, that he would at 19. Be that emotionally, because I'm not saying he's not attracted to this woman. Of course he is.
Right.
This is the love of his life, it sounds like. But to be drawn and to relate to someone at 43 years old, or I'm sorry, he's 19,
he
20,
was 19,
23
then,
is 42. Yeah, 42 maybe.
Yeah.
So it's like, yeah, like something happened in your life that kind of set the table for you to go and do that. You don't
think
so?
Some people find themselves extremely like emotionally mature, more mature than people in your cohort.
Yeah, but he's an actor, right?
Right.
Okay, so a 19-year-old, every 19-year-old has a void in them, right? It's why we go out to college. We try to prove like...
Find
we try
ourselves.
To make, yeah, we try to make our parents proud.
Yeah.
We try to get a degree to become something, to make something of ourselves. Or, you know, like your parents never loved you and then you want to go be famous and you want to be, you know, and prove them wrong kind of thing. You have a void as a 19-year-old no matter who you are. An actor has... Every actor has a void in them where they need to please strangers and they have this desire to sort of be other people.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like acting is like they want to be mm-hmm. other people and they enjoy that art. So a 19-year-old actor has a massive void in them that obviously this person filled. So that's why I'm saying I don't think it's just like, oh, like this person spoke to this person. I think they probably healed him in a way from something that happened obviously like earlier in his life.
I don't know. I feel like it is also a potential that, you know, when you're very emotionally mature, like much older than your actual age and much older than people in your cohort, girls your age, you might feel like it is a lot more intellectually stimulating and sexually stimulating to date older women.
No, I think dating older women is amazing. And I've done it plenty of times when
you
I was
have?
Single. Absolutely.
What's the oldest?
I don't know. I mean, I wasn't carding them.
Well, but like an estimate.
Like up there, probably.
50?
Yeah, easily.
Whoa.
Easily. easily. No, but I am somebody that like fashions themselves a bit of an old soul. And mm-hmm. I don't know, just like I have mature interests, maybe. I don't know. I'm not saying I'm mature. Everyone listening to this going that knows me goes, that guy's not mature. But no, it's like I relate to older people mm-hmm. a lot. And so that resonates with me. But I'm not going to marry these people. And I certainly wouldn't have married them at 19. So I'm just saying there was a deeper connection made there mm-hmm. that I'm just fascinated, like, what his upbringing was like that led to that.
That is interesting. Maybe Muggs can help us.
And you know what? Can I take it a step further? I think the reason why Muggs doesn't maybe have that interest in older women is that we've learned on Loveline, if you listen to Muggs, you know Muggs, he's the caregiver. He wants to be the caregiver.
He's a fixer.
Yeah. So like he doesn't want someone caregiving for him, right?
But do you want someone to caregive you?
Yeah, I think so. I don't want to be fully the caregiver. I would like to I like reciprocation, right? 50-50.
Yeah.
You know, I don't like to be fully taken care of, but I also, you know, want to take some care of whoever the partner is, you know?
And just like Bono, he still hasn't found what he's looking for.
Wow.
So an interesting research found, and you know, even though we've been talking about like quote unquote aging women, research found that actually older women that are like older than 35 mm-hmm. tend to feel the most sexually assertive mm-hmm. And at their sexual peak. So when it comes to the phenomenon of older women dating younger men, oftentimes the younger men will feel more desirable.
Well, this is 110% true.
Yeah.
But do you think that there's any negative to the younger men fetishizing the older woman sexually for the novelty factor, and then the older woman in like sort of internalizing it as some sort of like self-validation? Is there anything bad about that?
Yeah, I mean, fetishization is bad.
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
Plus, I'm like, bringing it up.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But in general, yes, it is bad. But I don't think it is in this case, just because they've now been married for 13 years. Like, he would have left a long time ago.
Oh, no, no, no. This is amazing. I'm happy for these two people. I'm happy for anybody that can find somebody.
It is such a controversial relationship.
Why is it controversial?
Every time I'm on TikTok, there's a ton of hate.
Why?
A ton of hate on this woman.
Why?
Because she's old. Older.
Like, but who's hating on her? Women?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's women.
Yeah.
It's not
men. A lot
men.
Of women in the comments saying, because he's in the recent horror movie Nosferatu.
Oh, yeah.
Have you seen that poster?
No.
What, you haven't?
What is that?
What?
I'm like
you
living
don't know
life.
What Nosferatu is?
No.
Dude?
What?
No.
It's with Lily Rose Depp, Johnny yeah. Depp's daughter.
All right.
Well, it's a huge movie.
Okay.
And he's in it, and people are saying that.
Muggs, you're getting a call.
Oh. People are saying that she's Nosferatu. Like she's a horror. Like, it's really sad. It's sad how many women are attacking her because she's dating a hot guy.
Huh. Yeah.
Yeah,
that's weird.
It's really sad.
That's really weird.
I dislike
why do women do
this,
that so much?
Competitiveness.
Why do women tear each other down like that? I mean, I guess, you know, there's always the devil's advocate that'll see this clip and go, oh, it's men too. But I do feel like women, like I've been in the presence of women and they'll see maybe like an overweight woman with a skinny guy. And it, like a single friend of mine will be like, I don't understand that at all, you know? And mm-hmm. I'll go, well, I don't know. Maybe like she mm-hmm. makes him happy, mm-hmm. you know? Mm-hmm. I don't know.
It's socialization. It's just like years and years and multiple generations of socialization of how we should feel, how we should think, how we should be competitive towards each other. And the more you work on yourself and the more enlightened you become, the more empowered you become, you don't do those things. You don't compare yourself to other women. You don't tear them down. But there are a lot of women that don't work on themselves.
Right.
And they have, you know, low self-esteem.
And yeah.
The best way to feel better about yourself is to...
I don't know if he's paying attention. I just dumped. Well, speaking of women and sexual health, Amy Schumer made a scary sexual confession. Now, what would you deem a scary sexual confession, Dr. Tara?
That she has, like, an incurable STD.
That's scary? That would be scary?
Yeah.
What is an incurable STD?
AIDS.
AIDS.
I would be scared.
Yeah, if you had AIDS?
Yeah.
I saw something that somebody was saying that like HIV. What do you? HIV becomes AIDS. Is that true?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So I heard something recently where like HIV doesn't always nowadays.
Right. You can treat it. Yeah.
Yeah. Where but it doesn't. It doesn't AIDS. Transcend into AIDS. But yeah, that would be scary. Okay.
Is it AIDS?
It's not AIDS. Muggs, okay. Do you have a guess? No, he's on the phone. Okay. All right. Well, scary.
Yeah.
It's not AIDS. You want to hear it?
Yes.
Okay, listen to this. This is Amy Schumer.
I have never from penetration, ma'am. It's a scary thing to say out loud.
No, it's not.
I mean, it's scary because nobody talks about it, you know, because we're all like, you know, getting an Oscar. But...
getting an Oscar.
But no, I, you know, I've had generous partners who understand like that, you know, I need to orgasm first. Yes. And I know you subscribe to that.
100%.
On your Wikipedia.
Okay. So that, I believe she was on the Call Her Daddy podcast. Mm-hmm. And so that's, to me, I go, that's not scary. Why
that
is that scary?
Not scary?
That's not scary, yeah. Right? Why?
But maybe,
well, I don't want to say like, you know, she might be going
I
through
think
something.
We are desensitized because we talk about this on our show.
Yeah, maybe.
But like for the average person, it's probably scary.
Is it scary? Like, is it scary because like her exes might hear this?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, the judgment.
Right.
Of like, oh, wow. So all those times you were faking, right?
Well, why can't women or why do women struggle like physiologically?
Yeah.
From penetrative orgasm.
Yeah.
Or, you know what I'm trying to say.
Yes, vaginal orgasm.
Yeah.
Because, you know, our clitoris is like the penis. And if our clitoris is not stimulated, we cannot orgasm. So if people that completely ignore the clitoris and just like insert to have an orgasm.
Okay.
Yeah. Because to have an orgasm, you have to be stimulated clitorally.
Okay. Right on. sorry, there's a lot going on here.
A lot going on. We have a call though for next segment if you want to go to it.
Yeah, well, I mean, what do you want me to go to break right now?
Well, we should. I mean, yeah, we're a little behind.
Okay, so we're gonna take a break.
Yep.
And then, what do you want to tease? What this caller is?
Yeah, it's a great question. She's a young lady from the Valley, wants to know if dating an older man with a kid is a good idea. Not only one kid, but two.
Two kids.
Is this your girlfriend?
Okay, no. And this is what we're going to break early for. So this better be good, Muggs. We'll get into this call coming up next on Loveline.
Rory, come on.
K-Rock.
I need guidance.
I'm calling Loveline.
I'm calling Loveline.
Loveline on K-Rock.
Back to Loveline with Kevin Kenny and Dr. Tara. Call or text 833-LOVE-191.
You ready to get kinky?
K-Rock.
That's a lot to live up to. It is Kevin Kenny, as they just said, with Dr. Tara. And we've been talking about age gap relationships tonight. We were talking about Aaron Taylor Johnson, an actor, and his elder wife. And that relationship, we're also talking about sort of aging out of certain roles in Hollywood and how sort of misogynistic the entertainment industry can be. And the new film, The Substance, that is out now. Before I get to this caller we have, who wants to know if it's a good idea for a woman to be dating an older man with a child, which is very interesting, don't you think, Dr. Tara?
Yeah, but not uncommon. Lots of women are dating men with children.
We will get to that in just a moment. But first, I did want to let you know, if you want to see Nine Inch Nails September 18th at the Kia Forum, and this is very special. It's their return to Los Angeles on this world tour this year. And this is the final stop on the world tour. And K-Rock is sending you. All you have to do to win tickets is text the word ONLY. ONLY to the number 20357. So one more time, if you're driving right now, you love you some Trent and Atticus, all you got to do is type in ONLY and text that to 20357. Now let's get to our friend Asha from Winnetka, right here in the Los Angeles area, and see if we have Asha on the line. Asha, are you there?
Hello.
Hey, how are you? Happy Sunday night.
Happy Sunday.
So lay it on me. What we've understood is you are wondering if it's a good idea for a woman like you to be dating an older man with multiple children.
Yes. First of all, I just want to give a shout out to Dr. Tara.
Hi.
I love you.
Oh, thank you so much.
Yes. Brown women with an MD. We love it.
PhD.
also, okay. So,
am I brown?
I go on. Go on. Go on, Asha.
Are you?
I'm Asian, so now I'm questioning if I'm brown or not.
Asha,
no, you're like an off white.
That so works. Asha. That works for me.
Yeah, my situation. So I'm seeing someone, right? I'm 24. He is a little bit older. He's only 26, but he has one biological child, technically two.
What do you mean technically?
He took another child on. The woman he had a child by, he took in her other child. So either he has a really big heart or he's like stupid. I'm not sure.
Well, what do you think? Is he a nice guy? Well, first off, how'd you meet this guy?
I met him on Halloween.
Where? At a bar?
Yes.
Okay. What did you go as?
He was... I was actually a vampire.
Okay, what was he?
Nothing.
Oh, he's one of those guys. He doesn't get dressed up?
Yeah. He's not participating.
I kind of like that.
Okay, all right, that's cool. And then, so how long have you been seeing this guy?
Since Halloween.
This year. Oh. So this is a Halloween of 2024.
Yes.
Okay, very cool.
Very new.
Okay. And then, so he's only 2 years older than you. So let's address this kind of in steps. I don't consider that an older man.
No.
Okay. So that
I don't either.
So don't worry about that, Asha. Like, don't worry about the fact that he's 2 years older. That's fine. You were in high school at the same time. Totally fine. So he has one.
Literally, I don't find him like a much older man. I don't even think that.
So he has one biological child. How old is the child?
She's six.
Okay.
Wow.
So six, he's 26, so he had him at 20. And then the other child, when you say he has another child, this is the child lives with him?
No.
So what do you mean he has an other child?
So neither children live with him.
Okay.
Let me give it to you in layman terms.
Okay.
So his baby mama.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Has a baby with his baby mama. She had another kid. And the father for that child is absent. So therefore, he kind of stepped up for that child. And him and his baby mama are no longer together. But he's still
not the father
there for him.
Wait, so do they have like half custody?
I don't know the linguistics of it.
Yeah. So what I'm understanding is this woman he dated, his ex, already had an existing child, correct?
Yes.
So he starts dating her, and then that child, how old's that child compared to the six-year-old? Probably eight or...
I don't know, but I believe he may be like 1 or 2 years older.
Oh, so you haven't even met these kids?
No.
Oh, okay. So this is now... Do some quick math for me, Dr. Tara. October to now is 3 months?
Yeah.
We're coming up on 3 months on the 31st. So you've been dating this guy 3 months, and are you under the impression that you are exclusive with this guy?
It's seeming that way.
Okay. Would you like it to be exclusive?
And that's why I'm calling, because...
Because you don't know. You don't know if you want to make it exclusive.
Right. I think he's really cool. I like everything about him. I've had like brief conversations with his daughter on the phone, which is...
Oh.
I don't want to say weird. But I remember being a little girl, and I remember being like very protective of my parents, and you know, just like, you know, it's just...
So why did they break up?
Myself too much.
Asha, why did he and the ex break up? So you don't know how old one of his kids is. You don't know why they broke up. I mean, what do you guys talk about when you hang out? What do you guys talk about?
Everything else. I think I've kind of tiptoed and avoided those questions because I was kind of afraid of the answer, maybe.
Yeah. Mm. Now, have you ever dated before? Or is this your first foray into dating?
No, I've dated before.
Okay. Well, I don't know. Some 24-year-olds haven't. No, I know. Some people haven't. So are you like that in a lot of your past interactions with men? Like, you don't like to, like, talk about, you know...
The nitty-gritty.
Yeah, the nitty-gritty, as they say.
I think I have too much, maybe too early, so maybe that's why I'm kind
of
like...
Oh, now you're a little gun-shy. Well, here's the thing.
Maybe a little bit.
It doesn't sound like you're in any position to become exclusive, and if you are not even talking about these, I mean, I don't even know if they're deep things, just sort of chapter two.
No, they're not.
Yeah. Like, I just think if you were to go to this guy and say, hey, you know, I want to be exclusive, he's not going to... It sounds like he doesn't feel a connection to you either at this point, but I think you should start...
I'm hanging up.
Well, no, I mean, look, it's my opinion, right? I think that you, if you want, I think instead of wondering if it's bad he has a kid, I think it's bad you guys aren't talking about this stuff, and I think you need to talk about this stuff before you even entertain, exclusivity.
Right. I mean, he's definitely brought it up. He's talked about her, talked about their relationship. I just didn't ask, the narrowing questions.
Well, how does he talk about it? Is it positively, negatively?
It's like both, which I feel like is natural, maybe.
Okay. I mean, he obviously liked her enough or had such a connection with these kids. I mean, does he come from a well-off family?
No.
Does he have a good job? The guy you're dating, does he have a good job?
She has he does electrical work and stuff like that.
Oh, you guys should make pretty good money doing that.
Yeah.
And then what does the ex do?
I have no idea.
Yeah, you got to know these answers, Asha.
Why does she have to know what her occupation was?
Let me paint you a picture that is a little bit more realistic than, you know, whatever Dr. Tar is about to say, which is going to be
what I'm about to say make a lot of sense.
From what I've gathered, I assume she does. Not much.
Okay, so here's why it's important, right? To Dr. Tara questioning me or you questioning me, I can't keep track now. What's important is that if this is a deadbeat lady and she is mooching off of the guy that you want to date, and now he's taking care of both their biological child and then another child, and she has no plans of getting a job or gainful employment or a way to support the child that is biologically hers, then that's going to create issues for you and this guy. Mm-hmm. And then I don't care what anybody says. If you have children with somebody, there's always a connection there. Mm-hmm. And there are, if the baby mom is in the picture, I mean, I don't know if this is love of your life, but if the baby mom is in the picture, there are a lot of other options. That's mm-hmm. all I'm going to say. I know that sounds cold.
Wait a minute. Let me add this though.
Okay.
Another layer.
Okay.
I believe that she has a partner.
Okay.
I feel like. Okay.
How serious, though? You know what I mean?
They live together.
Then why isn't that guy taking care of this kid?
Good point.
Well, because you can't just pass on one kid to another. They met each other. He brought this kid on. And, you know,
he bonded with his child. You know, this child sees him as his father.
His stepchild.
Yes. Yes, exactly. Like a stepkid. That's just what it is, you know?
Okay, my question is, how strong is your attraction for him minus the situation, just to him? From 1 to 10.
10.
Your attraction 10? To him is 10
this
out of 10.
Is, dude, no, your attraction is 10?
Is this for real?
Outside of this situation.
But right. 10? Like, this is your dream guy?
Okay, now with the kids in the situation.
Why are you so judgy?
10
attraction.
Yeah.
What's the number with the kids in the situation, Asha?
What do you mean?
Like, what do you rate him?
Yeah. Did your attraction towards him change with the situation?
Well, because I just don't know how to go about it, which is why I'm calling and asking.
Yeah, of course.
So, maybe 7.5.
So the kids is a big thing because mm-hmm. she hesitated there and she said 10 the other time.
It's not a big thing. It's mm-hmm. just that, I don't know. I've worked with kids before. I know how kids work. I just think it's a big thing for them. So therefore, it's a big thing for me. So I just don't, you know?
And it's a huge part of, a relationship needs attention and resources. So him Absolutely. Having two children, as well as a previous relationship, co-parenting, that's going to take away attention and resources from your relationship. I guess, do you like this person enough to go through all that this year together?
I'm fine with it as long as like, a lot of investment on your part.
Well, emotional investment and time.
Muggs, can you pull? I don't know if we can do this how quickly. There's a great dialogue from Jerry Maguire between Cuba Gooding Jr.'s character and Tom Cruise's character. And he talks about how when you're dating somebody with a child, it's different, right? Like, you've got to be honest and you've got to, you know.
It is different.
It is different. And so I just want to, like, not to speak for the child, but, you know, I would just say, this should probably be someone that you legitimately, Asha, and again, I just met you on the phone. I don't know how good your judgment is, but if, no, I'm not making, but I'm, you don't, no, I'm being serious.
What was the giggle for? Like,
she's in a, can I be honest, Asha? I don't know what she took before the broadcast tonight. She's been giggling at everything tonight.
Not too much on my girl, though. It's fine.
No, but Asha, no, in all seriousness, you need to take it pretty seriously because you are, and I mean this, I don't mean this in a negative way, you are going to disrupt the child's lives in the sense of, like, this is a new variable. This is a new element.
Yes.
This is something where children really do cling to consistency when you're growing up, as we all did too. And this is going to disrupt that consistency. So you have to go, why do you like this guy? Why is he a 10 out of 10? And, you know, he sounds amazing. If he's doing this out of the kindness of his heart and he is that much of a man where he wakes up every day at the crack of dawn and he goes and does, you know, trade work and he's putting food on his table and food of the food on the table of other people's children, including his own, that guy's amazing. I think that's a pretty rare kind of guy. I think you could. I think you should do it with this guy. But if it's not that.
Oh, I've done it. I'm just kidding.
Was it good?
It was amazing.
Wow. Well, that makes sense.
Are you using protection? Are you using protection?
10 out of 10.
Are you using protection? Are you using protection? No.
You said that like four times.
I know. She's not saying anything.
I know. I'm like, not anymore.
Asha, man. What?
Is that bad?
Are you on the pill?
I am on birth control.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, third kid coming in soon.
Does anybody use protection anymore if they're on birth control?
Some people still do, especially if you're, like, casual.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't. I have trust issues with people. And before I was, like, you know. Like
when you were single, did you use condoms?
Always.
Yeah.
Like, always.
As you should.
Well, just, like, it just, yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's your prerogative, of course, Asha.
I feel like this generation of men, like, they will convince you not to use one.
Yeah, of course. This guy's already convinced somebody that. You're like, that's what the six-year-old's for.
Not him.
Yeah, but he's already convinced someone to do that because there's a six-year-old.
Oh, you're protecting him, so you're, like, already emotionally attached.
Oh, God.
When's your last relationship, Asha? Before this guy. See, she's got to think about it. There haven't been many.
I know the answer.
Then why don't you say it?
So, my last relationship was very complicated, and it was about 3 months before I met him that I, like, kind of ended things with that person.
I don't love this now, because why was it complicated?
Okay.
Short version, because we're on the radio.
Okay. He was a 40-year-old man.
And you're worried about 24? Wait, hold on.
You were 22?
Oh, yeah. No, I was, yes, I was actually 23 to 24 when I saw him.
And he was 40?
He was 47, 48.
Okay. And where'd you meet that guy?
Can you guess?
A bar. You people in these bars.
Is it the same bar as Mux?
No.
Is it Mux? Is Mux? Are you 47?
I am the father.
Asha, can I just, because we do have to get some other questions, and I want to give you the best advice that at least I think I can give you, is you got out of a relationship that sounds like, in your own words, was a problematic relationship, and it was complicated, right, with a 48-year-old guy.
It just wasn't. Yeah.
Okay. So then 3 months later, you meet this other guy and you're trying to make this guy the solution to all of your problems. And the reason I'm so confident in saying that is you told us he has a 10 out of 10 attraction scale, which to me is just so unlikely. And just from an odds perspective, that you would, 3 months after breaking up with this complicated relationship, you would meet the 10 out of 10
guy for you, right? And this guy is very complicated.
Well, it's a, I didn't say I'll die. You just asked me, like, on an attraction scale.
I know, but Asha, what I'm saying is this guy, you may be inadvertently making this guy, you're trying to fit a square peg into a round hole. And this guy might not be the solution you're looking for, but you are probably looking for a solution. But it might not be this guy.
Mm. She's maybe thinking about it.
I'm just think about it, because you know what I'm trying to say? It's like,
no, I did also grow up without a father. So maybe, I don't know.
Well, and so think about this. You probably, wait, so you never knew your dad?
Never.
You never ever like met him, nothing like that?
No.
Okay. So maybe your over accommodation with men, right, is tied to that. Wanting to please a man because you never got the opportunity to make your dad proud. Maybe.
I don't think I make them very happy.
You don't think you make the men you date happy?
I don't know. Like, I'm definitely a handful in my own way.
Right.
And I don't think it's easy.
Well, let me ask you this. Do you think you predominantly satisfy the men through sex?
Yeah, maybe.
Right, so I'm just you know. By the way, no one's judging you here on Loveline. I just think it's helpful for any of us to go. I do do that.
Yeah, we listen,
wow,
but we don't judge.
Yeah,
we
yeah.
listen, but we don't judge.
There you
exactly.
go. There you go. So, just maybe be aware of that, because I think if you're aware of your hangups and why you do the things you do, mm-hmm. I learned through therapy. I grew up in a crazy, chaotic household, and so when things are calm, mm-hmm. I have a beautiful, loving girlfriend who's very calm, mm-hmm. right? And when things are a little too calm, I'm like, "What's going
you
on?
Seek
What's
out
wrong?"
Chaos.
And
yeah.
yes, and I will create that chaos. Mm-hmm. Or in the past,
no, I'm very well aware of, like, I remember reading this thing that people that grew up like in chaotic, you know, maybe like a little dysfunctional stuff, we're very drawn to like dysfunctional stuff.
Yeah.
Because it's like familiar,
it's
and
familiar.
It's normal.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
even if the unfamiliar is like healthy and good for you, like, it's weird to us because it's like unfamiliar.
100%. This is why people
I'm aware of it. I hate being aware.
No, I know, but please run towards that light of awareness,
yes,
Asha.
It's good for you.
You don't want to be these people who are unaware. First of all, the people I hate the most in the world are self-unaware people. Are they not the worst people? The people that talk, you know, they have no idea of how
zero
awful
self-aware.
They
yeah.
are. Zero self-awareness.
I feel like they're faking, because there's like no way.
I marvel at it too, especially in this town. People you will meet in this town,
people,
and you're just like,
bliss.
You're like, you're in on the bit, right? Like, you're in on this. And then you go,
yeah.
Oh no, you're not.
No.
You don't realize how awful you are. So anyways,
just like slowly back away from
yeah, the Homer Simpson move, of course.
Yeah, in the bush.
but if you really just, I think you should run to that awareness, because I think it's good, and I think it's good that you've heard that advice. I learned it in therapy, mm-hmm. of like how much we value mm-hmm. the familiar, because that's why people mm-hmm. will know I've got a drinking yeah. problem, mm-hmm. I've got a smoking problem, but it's like the familiar solution is like the smoke, the drink. You know what I mean? And they know.
Why are you looking at me, dude?
No, I'm not. I do hope you stop smoking, though, because I love you.
That was a sweet
Tara's
moment.
Tara's reaction. Like, we just talked about Tara's reaction.
It's like, moment.
Yeah, it was sweet. But she's, ooh. And she's laughing when I'm trying to be earnest. I don't know what she drank, but don't drink it again.
I really do think that the situation seems really complicated, Asha, especially for someone so young. Speaking from experience, like in your 20s is such a good time for exploration and also like, you know, a lot of self-exploration, like learning about yourself. So try not to get stuck into like too complicated of a situation and relationship this young, but explore and also grow, because I love this saying the most, grow a garden and the butterflies will come.
Yes.
Lame.
You want to know what my grandma used to say?
Yes.
She used to tell me, why make one man miserable when you can make a bunch of them happy?
Oh, interesting. Well, mom's like
sounds like,
that,
sounds like
so
her grandma ran the bunny
if
ranch.
If you want to date a 40-something-year-old man with a child, we have one here.
No,
is
your grandma Heidi Fleiss?
Hey, Asha, in all seriousness, I mean, we're telling jokes here, but if you said you're 24 years old?
Yes.
Okay, so I have two questions for you. Number one, what are you passionate about in your life? Like personally, what do you enjoy doing? Do you have a goal or do you have anything you enjoy doing in your life?
I do.
What is it?
Honestly,
yeah.
I love making people laugh.
Okay.
I love writing. So honestly, like I look at my future like endeavors and maybe it might be something to combine the two.
Okay, like comedy writing or something to that effect.
Yeah, and like I like drinking, so like, you know, I think it goes hand in hand. Like
yeah. Well,
and
yeah,
just,
yeah,
like,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
Every 24-year-old life
but
loves
here's,
drinking.
every 24-year-old artist, and you probably are a creative artist, they think they have to be this like tragic character. Like they need to drink a lot or
no,
you know.
I hate being a victim. Right. I hate feeling sorry for myself. I don't like that.
Or like okay. Self-deprecation.
Okay, Muggsy, get it. Here's what I just need to leave you with, though, Asha, is that you're 24 years old. If you, instead of like trying to please men, or instead of trying to date men, or trying to meet men, or get the validation of picking up guys, or guys choosing you at this local bar, because I'm sure in the moment that feels
Wait,
great.
First off, I did not meet these two people at the same bar.
Okay, but I'm just saying. Overall, Asha, we're trying to give real actionable advice here, if you can focus for a moment. So you're 24, and instead of putting your validation and your merit in how many men choose you at whatever bar, because I know that's probably a great feeling, put that validation in writing better, and put that validation in honing your comedy skills, and then that's going to be twofold, because then you're not going to ruin yourself and become this jaded person through all of these terrible experiences in your 20s, where by the time you're 30, no one wants to date you because of that, and by the time you're 30, you'll probably have a career in comedy or have a career in writing because you took those steps. So I think it's like it's twofold better than kind of being on this cycle you're on now, whether you want to admit it or not, which is you go from one complicated situation to another.
Mm. Build a garden and the butterflies will come.
Or do that.
Yeah, again.
Yeah. Full circle.
Yeah.
So, Asha, okay. If you, and again, we're always here on, and I don't mean to plug the social, like I'm not saying in a shticky way, but we are always here. Dr. Tara is always there on social, and you can always call back, you know, whenever you want, if you want to talk to Dr. Tara. On Love Line.
Yeah.
Sound good?
Oh, yeah.
Thanks for calling,
Love. Yeah, I believe, of course. I forgot who said it, like what female writer said this, but she also said like when you want to talk to a man, you're ignoring your creativity. I do remember that.
Interesting.
I forgot who said it, though.
And hey, Asha, if I can just add one other thing is just from like the dude point of view, I remember meeting a girl who was a comedian, a writer here in Los Angeles, and was very promiscuous and very like would just text me like, you know, very sexually direct things.
Wait,
right?
Hold on now.
And so anyways, I almost wanted to tell her like, hey, you're awesome. You don't need to do all this stuff. Like I almost felt like she had to do all. So I'm just saying like you might be good enough. You don't have to like please all these guys. They might just like you.
But some people might just like sex.
I'm like, well, there's not all these guys. Like, wait a minute. Like, let's not.
Okay. Then that's good.
Maybe the girl that texted you just likes sex.
That's fine, too. But, I mean,
why do you make it like she's trying to please you?
No. She can like sex, Dr. Tara, but I'm saying there also is a long track record of problematic female behavior that uses sex as a vehicle to please people so that they get validation. Are we going to ignore that fact?
No, that's true. But there's also tons of women that just like sex.
Of course. But on this show, are we going to do a disservice by not acknowledging that there might be concerns with certain types of behavior?
Yeah, I'm acknowledging both.
All right. That's all I'm saying. Asha, we love you. We got to run. We're getting the rap sign. Dr. Tara, where can Asha and plenty of other people find you on social media?
Yes, I'm on social media at lovebites.co. That's LUVBITES.CO.
Amazing. We'll be back next week with another Love Line.
This has been Love Line. The opinions expressed on Love Line are not necessarily those of staff, management, sponsors, or the station.
Love Line is produced and engineered by Jonathan Beermug Cantrell. Love Line is a presentation of the world famous K Rock.
You hang up first.
No, you hang up first.
I'm not hanging up till you hang up, so hang up.
Well, I'm not hanging up, so you hang up, so you hang up.
Okay, on the count of three, we'll both hang up. Cool?
Cool.
One, two, three.